And welcome to Stop the Presses here on the 7th of January 2019. Your host, Mark Anderson. We're beginning a new fresh week here. We'll be diving into some globalization and media issues and social media issues with today's guest, Brian Hesher of Alternate Current Radio, a fellow radio man. Some of the things that I'll be getting into today will include the Chatham House recent article, Rediscovering a Sense of Common Purpose, the Challenge for Western Think Tanks, that deserves at least dishonorable mention today, along with perhaps, if we can squeeze it in, a little talk about the upcoming World Economic Forum and related globalist conclaves, enclaves, whatever you want to call them. But without further ado, let me welcome my guest for today, as noted, Brian Hesher of Alternate Current Radio. You out there, Brian?
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hey, I kind of owed you one. You know, you've had me on your show more than once. It's like thrice. I don't know if there's a fancy word after you say thrice that means four, but I think it's been thrice. And I certainly owed you one, but I wanted to have you on in your own right for the very merits of it itself. And I know that you keep an eye on the conventional media. I'm being kind when I say that. If I say mainstream media, I'm still being too kind. We've more or less agreed, and I think we agreed on this back last fall, that it needs to be called from here on out the mass media cartel. And I try not to miss a chance to pin that on them. And there's so much that can be said about them. You know, you almost can't write a story these days without the story being about the media. It's not like you can just say, oh, I think I'll talk about Congress today, because you've got this thicket of misinformation that's in your way. And I know that you use your show on Alternate Current Radio, the Boiler Room, and you also help with Sunday Wire with Patrick Henningsen of 21st Century Wire, and you guys are often confronting that very thicket. Well, we would like to talk about this, only there's all this pile of nonsense over here, and we can't seem to get around it. So we've got to kind of take that pile down. And we've all become sort of aficionados at this, but what's on your mind in that regard, Brian? Of course, it's an open discussion, whatever you want to talk about. What's cooking for you in terms of those kinds of issues?
Well, you know, that was the driving factor in starting up this podcast, this live radio show that we call The Boiler Room. You know, you can't just sit down and look at the news, even in it doesn't matter if you're looking at mass media, cartel news, mainstream, whatever you want to call it, alternative media. You know, we've been doing this for a long time, and one really has to be careful. You know, they have to have their logic and common sense buttons engaged, and spend the time to try to understand the context that we're dealing with here when it comes to just trying to get out there and go look at the news. You know, it sounds so simple. It used to be so simple, you know, back in the day for me, you know, years ago, it used to be like, okay, I open my browser. I want to know a little bit about what's going on in the world. Well, I'll look at BBC. I'll look at Fox. I'll look at CNN and, you know, boom, there, I've done it. I've looked at both sides of the spectrum and I'm informed, right? Well, wrong. You know, we discovered some time ago that is not an appropriate way to inform oneself about what's going on in the world. And there's so many things that happen, you know, that I'm sure your listeners and our listeners are well aware of. We're all deeply entrenched in it now. So, you know, it's hard to say, but when for people that haven't heard Boiler Room yet, I suppose I could just say that it's an online, on-air, self-funded, listener-backed think tank that we've brought together to oppose dangerous think tanks, foundations, so-called NGOs, secret societies, and, you know, other corrupt entities like those mass media cartels, which are getting even smaller in ownership now. I believe Disney is making some big purchases. They're sucking up all of Hollywood and much of news agencies also. So we're down to like, what, four or five giant corporations that essentially own all of our mass media outlets now. So we really feel like it's important for listeners to understand what's going on there and the depth and breadth of the propaganda and lies and shade throwing that is going on in those cartels. So general things that we've been interested in at Alternate Current Radio, on the Boiler Room, and on Sunday Wire have been, and a lot of the other shows that air at alternatecurrentradio.com, have been all, we've been interested in mass media cartel opposition and educating listeners about their tactics. We've been interested in land rights issues. We followed closely the Bundy and Hammond family incidents in both Nevada and Oregon. We've always been very interested in the September 11 attacks and what that has led to, general politics, constitutional topics. One of our regulars on the show, Jay Dyer, has done an excellent globalist series, analysis series on globalist thinkers, writers, etc., like Bertrand Russell, H.G. Wells, Jacques Attali, Carol Quigley. We're also very interested in technology. I'm keenly interested in augmented reality and virtual reality and where these technological revelations are going to take us, and the various pitfalls that are associated with it. We've always been interested in big pharma, vaccine, addiction, mental illness drugs, pain drugs, and the way that those are wielded, oftentimes inappropriately by big pharma. We've been interested in border issues, mass migration as a weapon, all kind of stuff. That's how we roll on the Boiler Room. It's a bit of a roundtable discussion. We even get into philosophy, metaphysics, psychological warfare, Hollywood, secret societies, MK Ultra, gender warfare. I mean, it's been quite an interesting ride over the years while we've been doing it. And to get back to your question right now, one of the things that I'm got my eye on is the way that Silicon Valley is being used sort of as a proxy to veto free speech, a proxy by, government, intel agencies, who knows actually, who's behind the curtain at what point. But, we're seeing people being deplatformed. Our friend Jay Dyer, who's a constant on Boiler Room, was recently deplatformed from his web hosting service. There's big news going on with YouTubers and other folks like popular Sargon of Akkad being deplatformed from his monetary platforms that allow him to do his analysis and things that he does. So that's one of the things that I've been really interested in lately and keeping my eye on and trying to, keep our listeners engaged with, because it's really dangerous in my view, and in a lot of our listeners' views too, and our colleagues, to allow a politically charged, partisan, uber-rich group of people in California to say, to be the veto of free speech in this country and online. Google just shifted $23 billion to a tax haven in Bermuda for their 2017 filing. So, these companies are not, they're very clearly not about free speech, and quite the opposite, in fact. So that's one of the things I've been really interested in lately.
Very interesting, Brian. What you're talking about there, I look at the chess pieces moving on the chessboard, and you can tell what they're doing, our think tank versus the think tanks that cooperate with them. I guess you could say that most of the better alternative media, at least, and I believe that includes both of us and RBN, and at least a reasonable selection of the cross-section of the alternative media is sort of a counter think tank to the deep-seated, robber baron-funded think tanks that are out there, Chatham House, the CFR, and so on. But what they've clearly done in collaboration with Bilderberg, and back in 2013, there was another meeting besides Bilderberg in England that year, and that was Googleberg. And that seemed to lay some sort of cornerstone for what they're doing now, and that is to do an end run around the First Amendment by farming out data to a private organization that's not part of the government, even as that organization exports its tax obligation beyond the reach of the IRS, at least beyond most of its reach. So they always do an end run. They always do this sort of circuitous route to get around the First Amendment, get around Congress, get around the Constitution, delegate everything to something like Google. And then, of course, Google bought up Facebook, or Google bought up YouTube, rather, if I'm not mistaken, correct? Yeah, Google bought YouTube. So they shift the pieces around to where the normal jurisprudence of the Constitution either barely reaches or can't reach at all. So they have a very specific tactic, and it is through these machinations where you get an idea of what goes on at Bilderberg and related meetings and world planning councils. They obviously have a grid, a arrangement that has to be done incrementally. They can't move too fast, but when they can take a great leap forward, they do. And what you're talking about is, I think, part of what Mao would have called a great leap forward. They want to put everything beyond the normal political and constitutional confines to where it enters a new realm that only they control. And yes, some of this stuff was even envisioned in the works of H.G. Wells. If you read H.G. Wells closely and you look at the career of his son, Orson Welles, you kind of get where they were coming from. You know, they were futurists. They weren't just novelists and creators. They were futurists. And I think Bertrand Russell had at least one oar in the waters of futuristic studies. I believe he's the one that said, "We'll know that our education system has worked well when we can convince children that snow is black." These people are out to twist people's minds as well as twist the Constitution. So they're not benevolent. As much as they try to come across as benevolent, they are not. This isn't just, we got money, we can do this because we can. This is worse than that. This is, we want to bring harm upon most of the population, or injustice, or some sort of inequity, or worse, iniquity. But clearly, this is, in a word, it's crime.
It is. I absolutely agree, Mark, you know, and it's amazing to me that people like Bertrand Russell are still considered philanthropists and great thinkers, and, you know, propped up by many people in the media. And because you're right, you know, these are the types of people that have been planning this for a long time. And it is very similar to Mao's great leap forward at any opportunity. And, you know, I think a lot of our listeners, whether they support Trump or not, whether they're inside the right-left paradigm when it comes to political thought and philosophy, I'm sure that most of our listeners could probably agree, even the ones that consider Trump dangerous, that things would be a lot different and maybe worse if Hillary Clinton had been elected in 2016. But, you know, the state, the media, Bilderberg Group, Davos, we could go on and on, you know, through the think tanks and foundations. They all are working towards opposing this president, apparently, and I, you know, it has lit a fire under the social justice aspect of online users and extreme left wing political activists, and it really looks like a Mao's cultural revolution sort of movement that has sprung up in the wake of all this. And with Silicon Valley, you know, with Dorsey of Twitter and Zuckerberg of Facebook and the guy from Google recently all being on Capitol Hill over the last year or so, and then looking at the changes that they've made on their social media platforms. They use shadow banning techniques to hide people's outreach. I mean, I have over 2,000 followers on Twitter, and I'll tweet something and sometimes it'll just get nothing, you know. And, you know, I'm not delusional. I don't expect that everybody in that group is going to want to retweet or like what I say, but I would think, you know, more than three or four people would. So, and yes. I have similar problems on Facebook. And, you know, so we see this happening. We see Silicon Valley being used as a tool of censorship, and worse than that now, also taking people's ability to fund their operations, to self-fund their operations, even to crowdsource their operations. You know, there are crowdsourcing technology platforms out there that, of course, have to be in bed with the banking and exchange systems to you know, do their primary function, which is essentially just middlemaning cash. But these platforms, of course, based in Silicon Valley, are also doing this. So we've gone, you know, it's getting worse in the sense that people are now losing their ability to even do broadcasts like this and crowdfund their operation. You know, it's indicative.
You know, what it reminds me of, Brian, we got about 3 minutes before the first commercial break. Just to interject, I'm reminded of the old Newsie movies back before the digital age. If the big competitor didn't like the small paper, you'd see the big competitor burning or overturning the dispensary boxes of the small competitor, newspapers being thrown in rivers by one rival versus another. And it really happened. And now they're throwing our newspaper in the river in the digital stream rather than a stream of actual physical water. So the general impulse hasn't changed. They want total monopoly. They want total control. And they'll do whatever it takes to get it. But here again, just like days of yore, what they're doing would break any semblance, any reasonable antitrust law would be something that they'd be breaking along with constitutional principles and even basic fair play. You know, to impinge on someone's ability to make money is market rigging, to say the least, and outright theft. And if that's a stretch, I'm to be forgiven. But again, the difference between them and us is they love falsehood, we love truth. They engage in crime. We might get a little cantankerous once in a while, but we knowingly and willingly avoid doing anything dishonest or criminal. They have no qualms about it. And that's the bottom line here, is that they're on the market level or on the constitutional level, and probably other aspects we're not even aware of. This isn't about fair play. It's about theft. It's about suppression. It's about, again, it's crime.
Yeah, it is. And it's about power. You know, I mean, it is a nasty power struggle right now on Capitol Hill. And it has spilled over into, as I said in the last spoiler room, into your family dinner tables.
And we'll be back with more from Brian Hesher after these brief messages.
Owned her decks were guns as big as steers and sails as big as trees.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party property, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
So you'll be an Austrian nobleman commissioning a symphony in C, which defies all earthly descriptions. You'll be commissioning a symphony in C with money you squeeze from the peasants. To your nephew you can give it as a present, this magnificent symphony in C. You'll be
commissioning a symphony. Stop the presses. That's what it's known as, stop the presses. Of course, the meaning of that goes back to some of the old black and white movies where there'd be a late coming story and they had to change the headline or something breaking, and they'd say, stop the presses. We must get this new story in or get it updated. But what I take it to mean now is stop the presses altogether for reasons that we're outlining today. Of course, that includes the bogus mass media cartel internet digital news, not just the stuff that's ink on paper, but you pretty much would have to stop it altogether. And maybe that would include stopping the Federal Reserve's use of our presses for printing debt money as well. Pretty broad meaning there, come to think of it. Anyway, my guest today, Hesh, as he's also known, has been outlining his concerns about social media being proxies for doing away with free speech and alternative media. And Hesh, we're going into a short segment before the bottom of the hour, or Hesher. What do you prefer?
Either way, you know, just for anyone who doesn't know, Hesher, that's my call sign at Alternate Current Radio, which is a cultural slang meaning that I'm a metalhead, even though my professional background is in IT management and computer security and apparently radio these days. That's kind of where that comes from. So if you're at a metal show, you can look at someone and go, "Hey, you Hesher," you know, and that's just sort of where my nickname came from.
Great. Well, I'm also I hate to say former, but longtime metal drummer, aka rock. Then I've played polka and jazz. Yes, even polka. Every song is about women or beer. What's wrong with that? Nothing is the answer, of course.
But sounds heavy metal to me.
Well, I made the most heavy metal polka that I could, even when we did Frankie Yankovic. But Anyway, yeah, a few minutes before the ads at the bottom of the hour, then we have another longer segment. Some announcements. I should also note that soon I should be having Clive and Bundy on the show. I need to talk to him probably this evening to detail when that will be. But listeners can be assured that I got at least yellow, if not green light from him to be on here this month. I would think it'll happen this month. So stay tuned for more announcements on that. I guess I'll leave the announcements right there for now. I don't have as many of them as usual. But Hesh, you know, this is it's a very interesting development and a very unique situation we find ourselves in. And we all, I think, lay awake at night sometimes, but we all wrestle with the ideas and plans and tactics, I guess is the word, for how to do our own end run around this, how to not be completely blocked out or have our numbers so diminished that we're not even heard or read. And clearly, that's what they're trying to do. They're taking antitrust to the very peak of its cruelty and its illegality. They're trashing on the Constitution by moving everything outside the purview of it, as we outlined a few minutes ago, you know, thinking that if it's farmed out to a private company and that company can be assigned government power, what amounts to government power, and have that power delegated to it, that now they've got the deck of cards on a table that we're not even allowed to play at. And so I know we all think about what we're doing, and a lot of what we do is just keep on keeping on, keep doing what we're doing, and hopefully there'll be enough chinks in their armor. But I imagine this troubles you as much as it does me.
It really does, Mark. And, you know, it's a misconception. It's a propaganda talking point to say that these are private companies. You know what I mean? Like, you can't look at Facebook and say, oh, that's like my dollar store down the street, and they can refuse me service if I come in without shoes. That is not the case, folks. And, you know, we outlined on an episode of Boiler Room about a month ago, the latest damning data leaks about Facebook's involvement with the Atlantic Council's Digital Forensic Research Lab. It's really insane when you start looking under the hood in some of these social media giants. You'll find that there is a revolving door of politicians, intelligence, and surveillance, personalities, and money inside the social media giants. And some of them were even seed funded with InQtel money and government funding. So these, and of course, they're also totally tied in to the big data systems. Most notably, I'm sure a lot of listeners there are familiar with the giant NSA data collection facility, multi-billion-dollar facility up there in Utah. It seems that these facilities, these intelligence agencies, are using some of the same big data software crunching tools that are being used by people like Facebook. So I would argue that they're totally lined in. You know, companies like Palantir, for example, are, you know, the sorcerer's seeing stone, if you will, into everything, into anyone's life at this point.
Yeah, and Palantir, having been a steady attendee at Bilderberg the last 3 or 4 years at least. So we'll be back with more from Hesher right after these messages. Stay tuned here on Stop the Presses.
The Germans had the biggest ship that had the biggest guns. The Bismarck was the fastest ship that ever sailed the sea. On her decks were guns as big as steers and sails as big as trees.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
Back here on Stop the Presses, 7 January 2019. My guest, known as Hesher of Alternate Current Radio, does the Boiler Room, also Sunday Wire for Patrick Henningsen with 21stCenturyWire.com. Hesher, I keep kind of alternating between your nicknames. You're a man of many names. I too sport a few names. I won't share them though. I wanted to get your response to some things I'm reading here. First of all, with the World Economic Forum that's just about to happen again in Davos, Switzerland, but also a paper just released by the Chatham House, the Royal Institute of International Affairs. I'd love to have your response to this stuff.
All right, let's see what's going on.
Well, first of all, this one here, I'm reading from Klaus Schwab, who founded the World Economic Forum in the early 1970s. That happens, of course, in Davos, Switzerland, every January. And he notes here, this is the very beginning of his article, Globalization 4.0. We're getting into, of course, you know, the digital world of 5G, digital 5.0, but globalization somehow has come to 4.0. I'm not sure what the 4 points exactly mean. In other words, what the first three are. Putting that aside, he notes, after World War II, the international community came together to build a shared future. Now it must do so again. So once wasn't enough. Interesting. Owing to the slow and uneven recovery in the decades since the global financial crisis, which was the 07-08 stuff, A substantial part of society has become disaffected and embittered, not only with politics and politicians, but also with globalization and the entire economic system it underpins. In an era of widespread insecurity and frustration, populism, there's that word, populism, they're always stumbling over that, has become increasingly attractive as an alternative to the status quo. My quick response is, gotcha, yeah. But anyway, moving on, he adds, Klaus Schwab adds, but populist discords elides and often confounds the substantive distinctions between two concepts, globalization and globalism. Globalization is a phenomenon driven by technology and the movement of ideas, people, and goods. Globalism is an ideology that prioritizes the neoliberal global order over national interests. Nobody can deny that we are living in a globalized world, but whether all of our policies should be globalist is highly debatable. Now, that's very interesting. Now, what the think tank, one of the chief think tanks, boy, this is hard to get through here sometimes.
It's a tongue twister.
Yeah, it is. The Royal Institute of International Affairs, Chatham House, at the same time that they're saying this, is saying in the future, more think tanks should contribute ideas for the effective regulation of the global flows of goods, services, money, people, and information. One of the things that always hits me the hardest is that people and money and services and info and the regulation or deregulation of that flow of those things, people are always lumped in as a commodity. This is one thing that I'll sort of preface your response with. But the Royal Institute Chatham House goes on to say in this article, again, called Rediscovering a Common Sense of Purpose, the Challenge for Western Think Tanks, they go on to talk about that 7,800 think tanks in the world might have to begin to operate as one.
Well, I hope they invite the boiler room. I hope they invite you. But do you think they will? You know, they stated there, people, money, services, and information, regulating the flow of those. Do we really want these organizations, these foundations, these people to regulate that when they, by their own admission, consider, as you noted, people as a commodity? And I will add to that that they have also changed corporations into having the rights that people should have. So, you know, it's, you can see there's that term again that you told us about back at the Alternate Current Radio and 21st Century Wire Summit in Austin, Texas this year, globalese. That is globalese right there. When people become defined as a commodity and corporations become defined as people, you know, things are going very wrong from the kickoff here. And just the thought of these think tanks who have caused so much damage to society, to culture, to banking, to information flow, to news, to politics, to migration, immigration. You could go on and on and on, and you can trace so many issues that we have right now back up to these steering committees and these globalist thinkers and people like, you know, places like Davos. So, the thought of them all coming together is frightening, because I have a feeling we're not going to get the invite.
Yeah, very well put. And what's interesting to me, and I know it fascinates you, although it's not surprising per se, is the unanimity and the harmonization of everything that these people put out, whether it's Klaus Schwab at his World Economic Forum in Switzerland, whether it's Dr. Robin Niblett that wrote this Chatham House article. He happens to be the head of Chatham House there in London. And I've got a picture of myself on my blog and on my Facebook page standing at the front door of Chatham House. And I always recall, it's sort of a funny little story. Me and a friend of mine went in there in the UK. We went into Chatham House and we asked if we could be members, and we were told no. And they said, but we can subscribe to the magazine. And we just looked around as if we were at a boutique, and I don't know. We just made the secretary very uncomfortable. That was our deed for the day. It was very fun. But anyway, all that aside, what Dr. Robin Niblett, head of Chatham House, also wrote, and this is one of the defining things. In fact, it's under the subhead. Your response is needed more here, Hesher. Defining a common sense of purpose. And of course, we're reminded of what the UK column talks about, common purpose, that weird charity in the British Isles, you know, that's always meddling in various different affairs at all levels. So, but here it's defending a common sense of purpose. And he says, in many ways, think tanks today face a more complex context than their early predecessors, which is the Carnegie Endowment, the CFR, and so on. They must help avoid a return to interstate conflict and at the same time explore cooperative responses to interdependence that extend far beyond the scope of the state. Far beyond the scope of the state. I'll repeat that. If think tanks are to accomplish this dual role effectively in today's polycentric world, more globalism, more globalese, they will need to come together more often. He's talking about all the major think tanks and then some, across regions and continents to debate major trends, to compare domestic best practices, that's from their point of view, not our congressmen, and new ideas for international cooperation to address them, to work on joint projects, and to promote joint outputs. Now, he's talking about all the think tanks, joint projects, joint outputs. And now Klaus Schwab, alternately, on the 4.0 globalism article announcing this year's World Economic Forum, goes on to say, after all, this moment of crisis has raised important questions about our global governance architecture, with more and more voters demanding to take back control from globalist forces, or global forces, that is. The challenge is to restore sovereignty in a world that requires cooperation. Rather than closing off economies through protectionism and nationalist politics, we must forge a new social compact between citizens and their leaders. We, now that, right there, I'm tripping over the word we. We must form a new social compact between citizens and their leaders. Who in name of hell is we? I can't help but respond to that globalese right there. And then he goes on to say, because then everyone feels secure enough at home to remain open in the world at large. Failing that, the ongoing disintegration of our social fabric could ultimately lead to the collapse of democracy, quote unquote. You know, there's so much there that one could take apart. I can take one more stab, or I can give you the next stab here, Hesher.
Well, that's a rich paragraph. You're right. I mean, we it's hard to even read the whole thing without stopping multiple times to say, wait, what? You know, and one thing that they said in there is true. We are in a global society now in many ways. You can't deny that with the ease of travel and communications now available to those that have the means.
Correct.
And the internet, of course, that is true. But, you know, what this idea of restoring sovereignty as a threat to think tanks and to, you know, global power structures, you know, to our American listeners and to anyone who wants to have any sort of representation, local, you know, community, local, state representation, that's a red flag right there. That is dangerous language to look at, because that's what a constitutional republic is. That is the fabric of the United States of America, you know. Representation being a key factor there. And as we all know, that has already been under severe attack by the Fortune 500, by lobbyists, by foreign agents. I would use AIPAC as a great example of that, and the way that they throw their weight around Capitol Hill. I'm sure you could think of a dozen others out there doing that same thing. So, you know, this new social compact, and you emphasize the we there, that we, I'd put that in caps lock in that paragraph and reference a George Carlin staple statement right there. It's a big party and you're not invited. So when they say we, they aren't talking about Mark Anderson and Hesher and the listeners of Stop the Presses. They're talking about elites, oligarchs, politicians, and these think tank types who worship the thought processes of Bertrand Russell, H.G. Wells, and the like.
Yeah, well stated, Hesher. You know, that's what I see here, and it's again and again in Dr. Robin Niblett's article, just came out at Chatham House again, calling for at least partial merger and coming together and convergence of some up to 7,800 think tanks. Yeah, certainly the core ones, Atlantic Council, CFR, Carnegie Endowment, Chatham House itself, Chicago Council on Global Affairs, certainly they've already been converging, as you've covered and as I've covered and as I've explained on your show, Alternate Current Radio, they've been converging. So this is really just adding more fuel to the fire of something they're already doing. But in so doing, as they talk about converging, you'll notice how their language and their outlook converges even more and more and more. I'm just randomly picking out a World Economic Forum article, and I found this Chatham House article, and you could practically paste one on top of the other and see an almost total lack of contradiction. You know, there's a total harmonization between the two, or near total. And yes, in that paper by Chatham House and in this paper by the World Economic Forum, that word we is just thrown all over the place. And what's interesting, too, is they're always in that refrain that if people want to take back control from global forces, that's a bad thing. So they have to say things like what Klaus Schwab said. If people want to do that, then, quote, the challenge is to restore sovereignty in a world that requires cooperation. You'll notice the implication there. The world, in other words, cannot have cooperation unless they do things the way Klaus Schwab wants. In other words, without him, there is no cooperation. What does he think? He's Jesus Christ? I mean, you know, and then he goes on to say, rather than closing off economies through protectionism and nationalist policies, rather meaning instead of, we must forge a new social contract between citizens and their leaders. There's that we again. And we is not only not including people like you and me, Hesher, but that we that's separate from us wants to forge a new social compact. Now, whose constitution is that? And how can you have consent? And how is it that closing off economies through protectionism and nationalist policies, how is that always a bad idea? I mean, protectionism does have its place. One could argue that there are certain things you should be more protectionist about than others. One might argue that protectionism isn't always a good idea. But to say unequivocally that having some protectionism and nationalist policies, to say that that's always bad, is a statement of misfact. That is a lie. And it's a deceptive lie wrapped in the globalese that we talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's look at this statement here. We, as a global community, you know, I mean, so we're supposed to all agree on political, monetary, informational, social constructs between, are they talking about the entire planet here? So
yes.
Am I in Texas and some guy in Sudan and some guy in Moscow and some guy in Belarus and some guy in Ukraine and some guy in Venezuela? Are we all going to get together and somehow agree to the ways in which these foundations want to and governments want to rule us? You know, I mean, that's never going to happen. You know, that doesn't even make sense if you stand back and look at it. And to talk about protectionism, let's shift over to the Middle East for a moment and talk about Syria. You know, Syria has been under great attack, a proxy war basically being waged against them by Western intelligence agencies using radicalized jihadi groups to try to take down that government, much you know, and we've seen Iraq fall, we've seen Libya fall, we've seen Afghanistan under occupation, continued occupation, or one of the longest occupations ever.
Yes.
And, you know, how does that fit into this? You know, and
absolutely. Okay. There's the inevitable ads. We have one more run of those. We'll be right back with some final comments. Stay tuned.
The Bismarck was the fastest ship that ever sailed the sea. On her decks were guns as big as steers and sails as big as trees.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Just begun. The Germans had the biggest ship that had the biggest guns.
returning now to stop the presses. And we're now into that final segment, Hesher, that goes pretty quick when the show ends at the top of the hour. So one thing I'll mention to the listeners live and on the archive is I'll be having an article come out on my blog, thetruthhound.com, thetruthhound.com, and or American Free Press in the near term about Dr. Robin Niblett's article in the Chatham House website, and it's probably in their journal too, about this ongoing centralization and convergence of think tanks that he is now formally announcing. And again, Cliven Bundy is supposed to be on the show soon. I'll soon announce that. Hesher, what final announcements do you have or final remarks? So what you said right before the break was very salient. It really cut to the core of what's going on, especially with how these ideas that the Klaus Schwabs of the world and the Dr. Robin Niblets of the world, the ideas they announce, they sound quasi-logical on paper, but when you really think about them, they're imminently impractical in almost all respects. That's what it comes down to. They just don't even make sense.
Yeah, quasi-logical is being very kind, but it is fitting nonetheless, because a lot of people read these things and they say, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense to me. But if you read between the lines, and it's not a very hard read between the lines, you can see that they're saying, to finish my last example, if you're Syria and foreign invaders being funded by a multinational conclave of foreign countries want to enter your country illegally, occupy it illegally, terrorize your citizens illegally, and strive for illegal regime change for a president that was duly elected in, then they're not allowed to protect themselves. And that is very dangerous. You know, regardless of what you may think of Assad or Syria or Libya, whatever, just apply that to your own country. Apply that to your own country.
Wouldn't that be interesting if that's what they mean by that we can't be having, outdated, antiquated notions like protectionism going around? Maybe they don't just mean economic protectionism. A very interesting consideration. Real quick, your website, Hesher, to your radio.
AlternateCurrentRadio.com is where you can find all things Alternate Current Radio. You can find The Boiler Room there, Sunday Wire, a number of other shows we simulcast and rebroadcast over there. Thank you for having me on the show today. Mark Anderson, Truth Hound, you're the man.
You too, Hesher. Thanks for being on, and we'll see everybody this coming Wednesday here on Stop the Presses.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.